You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Gaming Podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
It's August 7th, 2026, and welcome to episode 194 of Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Video Game Podcast. I'm your host, John Wall, and every Thursday morning I bring you 15 minutes of video game impressions, industry news, and tales of a Gen X geek. Thank you for tuning into the program. Today on this week's show, I'm going to be talking about the Backrooms, including the movie, the video games, and of course, the lore. As always, though, let's kick things off with a look at the news. Xbox's disc-to-digital feature could be coming as soon as this month, according to leaked document. Today's headline comes from Chris Scullion at VGC. Last month, it was reported that Xbox was working on a feature codenamed disc-to-digital, which was being tried out by internal testers. The feature lets players insert a compatible Xbox disc and receive a digital license for it, essentially turning it into a digital version that acts as if it had been bought on the Xbox store and therefore no longer needs to have the disc in the drive. Now, The Verge reports that it's received a document recently sent to developers, which suggests the feature will be rolling out soon. According to the publication, the report says a public beta for the program was supposed to take place in July before rolling out for general availability in August. The plan was reportedly to test the program with Xbox insiders last month, but this was delayed. It's not clear whether the August target for the full rollout is still the plan or whether it too has been delayed, but it does appear that the feature should be expected in the coming weeks or months rather than in 2027, for example. So the future of Xbox is obviously still very uncertain, and anything could happen in the next year or so, but I do think this is a really nice feature, especially if we're going to be headed towards an all digital future. What I'm very curious to see is if this if Xbox 360 games work with this program. You haven't been able to purchase, for instance, the Left 4 Dead games on the Xbox store in a while now, and I would love to be able to transfer my disc copies over to digital. As I've gotten older, I've really tightened my social media circles. I'm not on Discord or TikTok. I never look at Reddit, rarely open Instagram, so whatever the kids are into these days, it takes me a while to hear about it, if I hear about it at all. So by the time that the Backrooms had bubbled up into the spaces that I frequent, it was already this sort of huge phenomenon, but I couldn't quite put my finger on what it actually was. Was this some sort of urban legend? Was it a meme? Where did this all actually start? So after it became a big hit movie from A24, I decided it was time to see what was going on. But I wanted to get a bit of that history first. So doing some reading, I discovered that this all started back in 2019 on 4chan, which is right off the bat a huge red flag. But I kept reading. Someone posted a photograph of a weird, empty furniture store in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, that was taken back in 2003, and they encouraged others to share, quote, disquieting images that just feel off. The photo showed the empty retail space with yellow carpeting and walls and fluorescent lighting that gave it an odd glow. An aesthetic that is known as liminal space now. Another person on the thread used the term backrooms to describe these places, and it just kind of continued to morph from there, particularly on Reddit, where people started making up lore about the backrooms and describing so-called entities which roam these spaces. It continued to grow and expand on other platforms like YouTube and Twitter. And then in 2022, 16-year-old YouTuber Kane Parsons posted a Backrooms video on YouTube, which many people credit as helping the concept move into the mainstream, and to date has over 90 million views. It got so big that the creator of the hit show Severance says that it was a pretty big influence on the development of that show. So the origin of the Backrooms doesn't seem to belong to one particular person. It was a collective creation born in internet subreddits and boards that kind of evolved over time. But it does seem safe to say that Kane Parsons is the one who took the ball and ran with it the furthest. So when A24 announced that they were adapting the idea into a feature film, they signed Parsons on to direct it. And when it hit theaters in May, its record-breaking success proved that The Backrooms was huge. The film, which cost less than $10 million to make, has grossed nearly $400 million so far. All from a weird little photo posted on 4chan. It's crazy. So what I liked about the movie is that they didn't try to overly explain things like Hollywood adaptations can often do. What makes things like this so interesting, whether it's Backrooms or Slender Man or Exit 8, is the mystery. It's not knowing what's really going on or why. Characters might theorize what they think is happening in the movie, but they truly have no idea. In the film, Chiwetel Ejiofor, oh man, I butchered his name, I'm so sorry. he stars as Clark, the owner of a furniture store. He's down on his luck, business is bad, and his relationship with his wife has fallen apart. One night while he's sleeping at the store because he's been kicked out of his house, he notices a sliver of light that seems to be coming from a wall in the basement. When he looks closer, he falls right through the solid wall and into the back rooms. Inside is a seemingly endless labyrinth of rooms and hallways, a space so large that it seems impossible that it could exist underneath this furniture shop. The rooms are, for the most part, empty, except for a few objects here and there, placed in such a way that it's just not quite right. A bunch of chairs piled in the center of the room, but some of them are stuck together, or an item that's kind of halfway sunk into the floor itself. It's like the space has glitched out, or it's trying to place objects in the room but doesn't quite know how they're supposed to work. There's definitely a parallel to generative AI and how it tries to recreate something but doesn't have the knowledge to know how things should actually work. As Clark explores the space further and tries to make sense of the things he sees, he confides in his therapist and gets other people involved, like his two young employees. And as they explore deeper, things get more bizarre and more dangerous. I think a concept this abstract and weird wouldn't work as well if you didn't have a really talented lead actor who does a great job of portraying a man being pulled further and further into madness. And like Exit 8, you'll get the most out of it if you go in not expecting like a straightforward and clear-cut narrative. Just kind of buckle up and go along for the bizarre sensory journey. So after we saw the movie, Charlie and I decided that we wanted to check out one of the video games. So we downloaded Escape the Backrooms, a co-op survival game from developer Fancy Games. There are honestly a bunch of backroom games out there. And again, being that the concept is kind of treated as public domain property, I don't think any of them are treated as quote, official or have any connection to Parsons' work specifically. That said, this seemed to be one of the more positively reviewed of the games, and we had a pretty fun time with it. From what we played, you know, it's not super complicated. It boils down to run around an area, try not to get killed by whatever freaky creature is wandering around, and find whatever it is you need to do to escape. The first level has you fixing a ladder so that you can reach a vent that has a key in it to unlock a door to escape. And the enemy is that freaky wire monster thing that you've maybe seen in some of the footage or photos. In the next level, you're in a big parking lot being chased by some monster that can mimic players that it kills. So it's simple, you know, it's kind of basic, but the vibes are good, and playing online with others leads to some really good, creepy fun. I think I was probably, you know, a bit dismissive when I first heard about Backrooms. I thought it was just a weird meme and something for the kids, but there's really something to it. It's unsettling, it's odd, and best of all, it's vague about what's behind it and the entities chasing you. I think the movie is definitely worth a watch, and if you're really into it, maybe check out one of the games too. So I'm not one of those people who adores the movie theater experience. I am just as happy and comfortable, if not more so, to sit down in my living room and watch a movie. And that's what I usually do. I still go to the theater a couple times a year, usually for like the next MCU movie. And it's honestly more to avoid having something spoiled for me before it hits, you know, home release. But somehow, I ended up at the theater the last three weekends in a row. First, we went and saw Supergirl. Good movie, not amazing, but a fun time, a good afternoon. The theater was also mostly empty, so we really didn't have any issues at all with other people. The next weekend, we saw The Odyssey, which is a fantastic movie. One of those movies where you walk out and think, you know, that was so much better for having seen it on a huge screen. This time the theater was much more packed, but still didn't have any problems with people. They were very well behaved, very good movie going experience. Then we went to see Spider-Man and I loved the movie. It's outstanding. One of the best MCU films in recent memory. Funny, exciting, great characters. It had it all. But this theater was packed. It was the opening weekend, no open seats. And somehow we ended up right in the center of the triforce of stupidity. Right behind us were a group of teenagers who decided to talk through about the first quarter of the movie, oblivious to the people who were shushing them from all around the room. I hate people like this. They should be hung upside down by their toes outside of the theater and stoned. But that was only the beginning. To the right of us was somebody who must have filled up before the movie with a jumbo Chicago-style chili dog, because the sounds and smells emanating from this individual were unfathomable. It was like someone had snuck a corpse into the theater. But worst of all was the person directly to me on my left. This is one of those nice theaters with the power reclining seats, you know. So as we're sitting there, his seat moves back and I hear the low hum of the footrest raising into the air, and his legs go up, where I see right next to me his bare feet, shoeless, sockless, 10 disgusting, nubby little toes staring me right in the eye. Who does this? Who behaves this way? And when the lights went out and the movie started, I couldn't see them anymore. But that almost made it worse. I couldn't see what they were doing. It's the horrors that you can't see that are the worst. And it was hard to focus knowing that they were right there, inches from me. Who raises their children this way? I swear to God, next time I'm just waiting for the movie to hit Disney Plus. Thank you for listening to Midlife Side Quest. I appreciate you making time in your day to hang out with me. You can catch a new episode every Thursday morning wherever you listen to podcasts, and you can support the show by subscribing and leaving a review. Until next time, I'm your host, John Wall. Have a great rest of the week, and don't forget to save.